fill me with your Holy Spirit and use your word in a powerful way tonight to convey the truth, the most important truth that I could be preaching on tonight. I pray that you would let it sink down into the ears of those that are here. Help no one to walk out the door not understanding what I preach tonight. And please allow me, Holy Spirit, to make it as clear as possible. And I love you and thank you for the opportunity to preach and for this great church. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, of course, you're probably wondering why I'm not preaching on Isaiah chapter 35 tonight, since it's Wednesday night. And this is the first time that I've ever changed my sermon on Wednesday night, because every single Wednesday night we go through chapters of the Bible since I started this church. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, and we've never broken that pattern. But tonight, I'm preaching on something because I'm dealing with a problem that's in our church. And the reason that I classify this as a problem is because this is something that I've preached on many, many times. I've taught on this many times. I'm not upset or angry with anyone, but I refuse to allow bad methods and bad habits and bad doctrine to become a part of our church. And so it's not going to. And so tonight I'm just going to deal with this and preach on this. And I'm not directing this at any one person. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not trying to point it out to anybody. And don't try to apply this to someone else. Apply it to yourself. And if the shoe fits, then wear it. And if it doesn't apply to you, then just sit back and enjoy the sermon. And if it does apply to you, then change. Okay? So this isn't to rip on anybody or any specific people or anything, but you need to listen to this sermon and apply it to your own heart, not worry about the person sitting next to you, and get the truth from tonight's sermon. And so tonight I'm preaching on 1 John chapter 5 instead of Isaiah 35. Now the Bible reads in verse number 1 of chapter 5, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, that's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? I mean, salvation is by faith. Okay? I loved your sermon, by the way. I just got to listen to it, Brother Garrett, about believing on Jesus Christ for salvation. And it says, "Whosoever believeth." We know that it's, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says in John 5:24, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so, I don't need to go on and on about that, but he says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." I stand tonight and tell you that anyone who believes on Jesus Christ is saved.
Amen.
I mean, if they truly believe on Jesus Christ, on the authority of 1 John 5:1, on the authority of John 3:16, on the authority of John 3:18, on the authority of John 5:24, anyone who believes on Jesus Christ is saved.
That's right.
But of course, like your sermon said, Brother Garrett, it's got to be believing on Jesus Christ plus nothing.
Amen.
Right? I mean, he made it clear, if you're adding something else to it, God calls that not believing.
Amen.
When you're adding in your own works, or if you add baptism, or if you add the works of the flesh, or turning away from sin, or church attendance, or these different things, then you're not believing totally on Christ. But the question is, what is it that a person has to believe in order to be saved? What do they have to believe? I mean, do they just have to believe that there's one God? That's not enough. I mean, the Muslim believes that there's one God. The devil believes that there's one God. The Bible says, thou believest that there is one God. And this is a verse that's often misquoted from James 2 and totally taken out of context. But he says, thou believest that there's one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What do they believe? That there's one God. Does believing that there's one God save you? No. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves you. But what is it that you have to believe about Jesus Christ? That he was a good teacher? No. That he's a man? No. That he was a God? No. But that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must believe the record that the Father gave of the Son. Now look down at your Bible, and let's see what this is. Let's start in verse number 6. He says in verse 6 here, first of all, let's just go through this whole chapter quickly, because I want you to see this. He says, "And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." Now, look at verse 21 of chapter 4. "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. He that saith, I love God, and hated his brother is a liar. I'm quoting from earlier in 1 John. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we found, that he that which loveth his brother loveth God, loveth his brother also. But look at verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. It's impossible to love God without loving the children of God. Do you see that? Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, again, we're talking about being born of God, like in verse 1, being born again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now watch the last phrase of verse number 6. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, okay? Because the Spirit is truth. Now you got that part down? It is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. Now look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Who is the witness? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the Spirit in himself. The Bible says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. But look what he says here. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. This is what the unbeliever does not believe. Are you listening to that? This is what you have to believe about Jesus in order to be saved. And this is what the unbeliever does not believe. This is why the unbeliever is making God a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So what is it that you have to believe in order to be saved? Number one, that God hath given to us eternal life. It's a gift, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he says not only that, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Not temporary life, not conditional life, not life until you sin or until you get out of church or quit the church. No, it's everlasting life. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. One of my favorite verses in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's eternal life. It's everlasting life. Now you say, does a person have to believe that in order to be saved? Well, what does it say in 1 John chapter 5? It says if you don't believe that, you're making God a liar. It says if you don't believe that it's been given to us, you're making God a liar. If you don't believe it's eternal, you're making God a liar. If you don't believe that it's in His Son, Jesus Christ, period, and that's the only place it is, you are making God a liar. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, it's very clear what it is that people need to believe. If a person believes in Christ plus works, they're going to hell. Amen. If they believe in Jesus saves, believe on Jesus Christ, and be baptized, they're adding the works of the flesh. If they believe in being circumcised and believe on Jesus Christ as a way to heaven, they are not saved. The Bible says, I testify unto every one of you that is circumcised, that you're a debtor to do the whole law. Christ shall profit you nothing, he said. Amen. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If you are think that you're justified by God's laws tonight, you're not saved. Okay, salvation is by believing on Jesus Christ, on Jesus Christ, on the record that he gave of his Son, that he is the only way to heaven. It's a gift. And it's through Jesus, and it's eternal. Now, pretty simple, right? Anybody not understand that? It's very simple. It's very clear. Now, let me ask you something. Where does it say anywhere here, where did you see in anything that we just read in 1 John 5 or anywhere else in the Bible that says that praying a prayer is what saves you? Anybody see that? Can anybody show me in the Bible where praying a prayer is what saves you? Saying words, saying the magic words will save you. Is that what it says? No. That's not what it says anywhere. Now you say, well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, keep reading. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they not believe? Right? The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that saves you, because whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, it's not words that save you, it's not saying a prayer, it's not repeating words, it's believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world. That's what salvation is.
Amen.
Now, do I go out and win people to Christ and pray with them? Of course I do, because once they believe, I want them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. But it's the faith in their heart that saves them.
Right. Amen.
David said, I believe, there, or Paul said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We believe, and so speak we. We're just articulating with our mouth what we believe in our heart. And just like the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And that was enough for Philip. That was salvation. Because salvation is faith. It's not a prayer. When I win somebody to Christ, I make that clear to them. And when I'm done winning them to Christ, I always ask them, I say, now where would you go if you died? They say, heaven. I say, why? And they always say the same thing. Every time I talk to somebody, they say the same thing every time. They say, because I believe.
Amen.
That's what they say. As soon as I lead them in prayer and they pray and ask Jesus Christ, says, I say, now why are you going to heaven? Because I believe. That's why. You say, well, how can we get the same answer out of everybody? Because that's what I just finished preaching to them for the last 20 minutes. So obviously that's what they know is what it is, or else I wouldn't have even prayed with them.
Yeah.
They know it's faith. Now listen to me. I know that there are people in this church that are going out soul winning, and you're not doing a thorough job with people out soul winning. And you're not going into eternal security with people at the door. And you're wrong, and you need to change it. Period. Now, I'm not trying to point anybody out or individually anybody, and I'm not upset with anybody. Maybe you just need to learn. Maybe I've preached this and preached this. Maybe it just doesn't, people don't get it, or I don't know what. Maybe I haven't preached it in a while. Maybe I haven't preached it enough. I know Brother Stuckey just preached it like a week and a half ago. I listened to his sermon that was preached while I was in Norway, and he emphasized that, and I want to thank you, Brother Stuckey, for emphasizing, hey, when you're out soul winning, take the extra time to make sure that people understand the gospel, or what is the point of even doing it?
Amen. Amen.
Now, you need to listen to me carefully what I'm saying right now, because look, I praise God and thank God for everybody who goes out there and does the work and preaches the gospel, but why would you want to go out and sacrifice your time, hours from your life, and go out and spin your wheels and accomplish nothing? Why would you want to do that? Is anybody listening to me tonight? Because listen, if you go out there and you're not thorough with people, and people believe the same thing when you start talking to them as they believe when you're done talking to them, you didn't accomplish anything.
That's right.
And look, I'm not upset with anybody. I praise God that people want to go out and do the work. I praise God that we have more soul winning going on in our church than we've ever had in the history of our church. I thank God for it, but what's the point if you're not going to do it right? I'd rather have half as many people going out and doing it right. Or doing it right for half the time. Now look, this isn't athletics. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going around seeing how many people we can pray with in this church. It's never going to happen. I've been fighting this garbage for the last 11 years of my life. Since I first started soul winning. There was a guy in our church when I first started soul winning. And nobody in our church has done anything like this. But this guy, I mean, he would just, okay, pray this prayer. You know, one of those seven things. He'd blow through it with people. Or he'd give one person the gospel, right? Like he'd walk up and give one person the gospel, okay? And then some other people would kind of be out in the distance, weren't really listening, maybe picking up a few words here and there. And he'd say, here, come over here and pray this too. You know what I mean? And he'd have them come. And then, oh yeah, we got five saved. You know, we only talk to one person. Now look, you may be upset with me right now or whatever. I don't really care. I couldn't care less. Because you know what? It's my job to stand behind this pulpit and preach what needs to be preached. And whoever likes it can like it, and whoever doesn't like it can lump it. That's the way I feel about it. And so I'm here to preach the whole counsel of God. And I'm not going to have people going out in the name of our church and talking to people and not preaching to them eternal security, not being thorough with them. Look, going up to... Let me do an example. Brother Stuckey, come on up here. Now, Brother Stuckey, come here. Let's say that Brother Stuckey is the unbeliever. He looks like an unbeliever. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's say Brother Stuckey is an unbeliever, right? And let's say I come to his door, right? And I knock on his door. And I say, hi, how you doing? I'm Pastor Steve Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church. Just wanted to invite you to church. Do you go to church anywhere?
No.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Say you go to church.
I go to Grace Community.
You go to Grace Community. Hey, that's on Southern Avenue, right off Mill, right? Oh, yeah, okay. That's where they got that speed trap set up. Well, 35 miles an hour. I know it well. But more important than the speed trap, more important than the police cameras that are going up on every corner. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's say I say to him, now, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven, Matthew?
I think I'd go. I'm a pretty good person.
Okay. Is that the right answer?
No.
No. You know, well, I think so. I'm pretty good, you know. I'm living a good life, right? Okay. And so let me ask you something. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross?
I believe he died for us.
Okay, yeah, because the Bible says right here, you know, but God commands his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You believe we're all sinners, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God?
Yeah.
Okay, and it says right here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Would you like to do that right now and just pray and ask Jesus to save you?
Sure.
Okay, well, let's pray right now. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I deserve to go to hell.
I know I deserve to.
But I know you died on the cross for me.
I know you died.
And rose again.
Rose again.
Please save me right now.
Please save
Amen.
Me. Amen.
Now look, that was not thorough at all. Because watch. Now here's the next step. So let me ask you something. Where would you go if you died?
I guess I'd go to heaven.
Okay, but what happens if you quit going to church and go out and live a life of sin? Will you still go to heaven?
If I asked for forgiveness, I would.
You know that, well, look, does anybody deny that what I'm telling you is true right now, that is exactly what would, if I went through a sloppy presentation, like, that's exactly what he would say.
Yeah.
You know it's the truth.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, let's say you, what if you killed yourself?
I mean, suicide, definitely.
Definitely go, yeah, see what I, yeah. he didn't get it because I didn't teach him anything. He already believed it. He already believed, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. Oh yeah, I asked Jesus in my heart. But he thinks it's because he's a good person that he's going to heaven. And listen, he believed that when I got there, and he still believes it. Right? I mean, he still believes the same thing he believed when I got there. Now, look. You can go ahead and sit down for a second. Thanks. Right. That's garbage. That's not how you get somebody saved. And that's an extreme example. I just don't want to take all night showing how to do a poor job of giving somebody a gospel. You know what I mean? But look, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't talk about eternal life, everlasting life, you know what? You're doing a bad job.
Amen.
Period.
Yep.
I don't get. Well, I talked to him for 45 minutes. Talking about the wrong thing. You need to be talking about the fact that Jesus Christ's blood is all the payment that's necessary for salvation, and that once you get saved, you'll always be saved, because it's eternal life. Because if somebody believes, well, yeah, okay, I believe on Jesus, but I'm saved, but as soon as I quit doing the work, I'm not saved anymore, that's not trusting Christ alone. I mean, look, think about it. If you believe you can lose your salvation, then you believe that you have to live a certain way in order to be saved. That's works. Any way you slice it. Then that's what the Nazarenes believe. That's what the Assemblies of God believe. It's what the Pentecostals. You can call it whatever you want. You can twist it and look at it from all different angles. But if you're going to sit there and say that if I commit sin, I'm no longer saved, no matter what the sin, you don't believe that Jesus paid it all. Period. I mean, if I lose my salvation by sinning, I lose it every day. Because I sin every day. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're all sinners. I sin daily. And so if I believe that committing a sin will take away my salvation from me, I'm basically saying that God's a liar. Because God said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So if I believe that if I believe that I could lose it, let's say I went out and committed murder, and God took away my salvation, then God lied. Because God said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I live. I believe in him. I shall never die. If the Bible's true. Of course the Bible's true. And you say, well, no, there is possible that you could die and go to hell. If you did this or that or whatever, then you are saying that the Bible is not true. Because if the Bible's true, then I live, I believe on Christ, I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Right? I mean, that, otherwise the Bible's not true. And that's why God said, if you don't believe what I'm about to tell you, you're making God a liar. And you don't have the witness in you.
Yeah.
You don't have the Holy Spirit in you leading you into all truth. You don't have the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Now look, one of the reasons why we ask the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Is because the person who's saved usually is going to have a very confident answer,
yeah.
Yes. Because the Spirit bears witness with their spirit that they're a child of God. Okay? And so they're going to say yes. And then I ask them this question. If they say, well, here's the thing. Let me just get into some soul winning methods. Because I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to give you the training that you need. I'm not condemning anybody. I want to teach you and help you to do a better job. Okay? So I'm trying to teach and to train right now. And you say, well, it sounds like you're mad. You know what? It does make me mad. I'm not going to lie to you. It makes me upset when people are slipshod presenting the gospel. Because we're talking about heaven and hell. Who's going to go back to that door where you were sloppy and go really get those people saved? Because those people are still going to hell. And you didn't get them saved because you were sloppy. Now look, I don't think there's anything funny about that. I don't think it's a game. I don't think it's a joke. And look, maybe in some dead IFB church or one of these Hiles Anderson satellites, I know they go around praying with a bunch of people that don't understand the gospel. But you know what? This is not a Hiles Anderson satellite. This is not your typical IFB church. There's no reason why anybody should go to Faithful Word Baptist Church and not be doing it right. I mean, why don't you go out and get one person really saved? Right? Take the time. And look, I'm not saying it takes forever to get somebody saved. You could get somebody saved in 10 minutes. If you're thorough and explain it to them and go through it with them and it's clear. But you know what? Let me get into some methods to help you. Because I want to help you tonight. I want to help you to grow and to learn. And I hope that... And by the way, don't be like Cain. Who, you know, God rebuked Cain. And what did he do? You know? Right? Hey, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? And you know what? You got to be able to learn to take the rebukes of wisdom or the way of life, my friend. And people have rebuked me, and some people need to be rebuked. You just got to just learn from it and just go on and do it right and get the methods. Here's a good method, okay? Knock on the door, right? Hi, how you doing? My name's Pastor Stephen Anderson. I'm from Faithful Word Baptist Church. Just wanted to invite you to church. Do you go to church anywhere? And then they tell me what church they go to, whatever it is. And I say, well, hey, listen, more important than going to church, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Now, what I'm hoping that they say, if they're an unbeliever, I'm hoping that they say no. Right? Because that's going to be really easy to show how to be saved. Or if they say, I hope so. Or if they say, even if they say, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure I would. That's not really 100%, is it? If they say, I'm pretty sure. So then I'll say to them, well, hey, can I just take a few minutes and show you how you'd be 100% sure? You know, and then, and I got it, you know, right, you know, that's a good technique. You know, you kind of nod, like, yeah, you know. So anyway, you know, can I show you I'd be 100% sure? And then they say yes. I say, okay, great, you know, and then I go through the whole plan of salvation thoroughly. Now look, I'm not saying to kick a dead horse. I mean, look, if they understand that they're a sinner, I move right on to the next point. I'm not one of these people that spends like 5 minutes explaining to somebody how they're a sinner. It's like, that's pretty easy to figure out. Most people can figure that out in about 10 seconds. If you said, oh yeah, of course. You know, oh, what, today? Yeah. You know, or have you ever told a lie? Yes. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and beat things into the ground. You know, and then I show them, you know, the punishment for sin is to go to hell. How long do I show them that? Just as long as it takes to get them to comprehend it. It may take a minute or two. It may take less. May take more. Just however long it takes them to comprehend. And the verses I use for that, I go to Romans 6:23, I go to Revelation 20:14 and 15, and I go to Revelation 21:8, where he says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is saying that Now, once I'm through with that, I say, now look, where does that say all liars are going? You know, have you ever told a lie before? Okay, but God loves us. So do you think God wants us to go to hell if he loves us? No. This is what God did to save us. You know, and I go through the whole thing. Jesus Christ, God became flesh. You know, and I go through the whole thing, how he died on the cross for our sins. He's buried. He rose again. All that. I go through it in great detail, explain it to him. And then I explain to him that it's what saves you. What's it? He died for everybody, right? The gift's available. He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And I show him, you know, it's faith. Faith. I show him maybe four or five verses that really drive that home, that it's faith. Then I explain to them that you cannot lose it because it's eternal life, everlasting life. Because I don't want them to walk away not understanding the truth.
Amen.
Because look, you can sit there and say, it's believe, but you got to remember, you're talking to somebody who's been taught wrong their whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be talking to a Pentecostal who's been learning that you can lose your salvation for the last 25 years, every week. Okay, you've got to explain it to them, or how are they going to understand if you didn't even explain it to them? How else are they here without a preacher? Oh, it's believe on Jesus Christ. They're still thinking in their mind, it's believe and. Right? They're still thinking it's believe plus. Fill in the blank. You know, whatever denomination they are.
Whether it be, if it's the Catholics, they think it's faith plus baptism. Faith plus works. If it's Church of Christ, they're thinking faith plus works. If it's Nazarene, they're thinking faith plus endure to the end. If it's Presbyterian, they're thinking faith plus endure to the end. You know, perseverance of the saints. If they're Methodist, they're thinking faith plus, you know, live a good life so you don't lose your salvation. If it's Lutheran, they're thinking faith plus baptism. I mean, look, let me shock you. Lutherans think that baptism is necessary for salvation. It's true. I just finished being in Norway, and I went out soul winning for about 18 hours, and they all thought that baptism was salvation, basically. They didn't even go to church. They didn't even live a good life. They were baptized. They thought they were on their way to heaven, these Lutherans. I mean, almost every door, it was like, yes, I'm going to heaven. I belong to the state church. And they haven't gone, because, you know, Norway has like a state church. 97% of the people, I believe, remember him? 97% of the people in Norway are part of the state-run Lutheran church. The king of Norway is the head of the church, King Harald. And so he runs the thing, and they all belong to it, and they call it, what is it that they call it? Barnatru. You know, they think it's like their child, the faith that they had as a child is going to save them. Like, they don't even believe in it anymore. But when I was a kid, I believed it. And I got baptized. So I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of the state church because I was baptized and confirmed. Okay. Now look, people are coming from a false religion. The TV, when it talks about Christianity, preaches false doctrine. Schools teach false doctrine when it comes to salvation. When I was in public school, they talk about Christianity and Islam. And when they talk about Christianity, they preach false doctrine. Okay. People don't know the truth. You've got to explain it to them. That's the whole point of going to them and preaching them the gospel. Now let me listen. I want you to listen very carefully to the next thing I say. This is the most, if you don't get anything else tonight, this is what I want you to get. If they believe the same thing when you got there as they believe when you leave, okay, they did not get saved. Now, if they believe the same thing when you got there as they believe when you leave, either they were already saved, or they're still not saved. Does everybody understand that? I want to make this as clear as I can. If they don't change what they believe, then they didn't get saved. Because that's what getting saved is.
Right.
Okay? Because you say, oh, they prayed. Well, this person believed, but they just never... No, they didn't. You think that God... Let me ask you this. Do you think that God is going to refuse entrance of someone into heaven because they believe on Jesus Christ, they believe he's the only way to heaven, they believe it's not of works, but because they didn't pray right, or pray at the right time, or pray with the right person, or pray the right prayer? No. Because whosoever believeth shall not perish. Okay? So our job is not to go, we just got to go around and pray with all these people that already believe. You know that's not what we're doing. I mean, come on. Our goal is to walk up to somebody who believes wrong, okay, and change what they believe. Right? Preach it to them what they believe.
What they need to believe, and then they're going to change. That, by the way, that's what repentance is.
That's right.
We don't believe that you have to repent of your sins to be saved. That means like, oh, I'm turning from drinking in order to be saved. You know what? Lot didn't turn from drinking when he got saved. And you know what? The thief on the cross, where is it mentioned that he decided that he was going to stop? I guess it would have been easy for him to say, right? I'm never going to steal anything again. No, he just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He just looked to Jesus Christ in faith and asked to be saved. Look, we don't believe you have to turn from your sins to be saved, because that's works. I mean, if I have to live by God's code of conduct, that would be me earning my salvation by giving up certain sins. And if I have to repent of my sins, which ones? Which ones? Just the really bad ones, right? Come on now. Where do you draw the line with this? It's funny because and these repentance preachers, they single out certain sins. Fornication, drinking, smoking. Now, smoking's not even mentioned in the Bible. And yet now, giving up smoking is a prerequisite for salvation? Or being willing to? I mean, that's garbage, my friend. And it shows the hypocrisy of what we're talking about here. Now, I'm not condoning smoking. I'm against smoking. But you know what? You don't have to be. You can smoke cigarettes until you die
and go to heaven to be with Jesus. Right. And you'll quit cold turkey, right?
You know what? There are people who drink that will be saved.
Oh, no drunkard's going to be in heaven.
Yeah, no liar's going to be there either. But guess what? When I go to heaven, I'm not going to be a liar. I'm not going to be a drunkard. I'm not even going to be a sinner. Because when I go to heaven, the flesh will be gone, and I'll be a brand new creature.
Amen.
You know, no liar is in heaven, but you know what? No drunkard's in heaven. No liar's in heaven. No one who's fearful is going to heaven either. Look, you're twisting the word of God. God's saying any sin will condemn you to hell. Any sin will keep you out of heaven. You cannot, nothing can enter into heaven that defileth or worketh abomination or whatsoever maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, because their sins are blotted out and they've been regenerated and redeemed. Now, my spirit's already been saved. My spirit's already been redeemed. My flesh is unsaved. You are looking at an unsaved flesh right now. This is the same flesh I had before I got saved. My flesh will be changed at the rapture in a moment and twinkling of an eye. It will be, the Bible says, looking for that blessed open, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, Philippians chapter 3, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So our body one day will be in the image of Jesus Christ. It will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, into a redeemed, saved body. And then we'll have saved body, saved spirit, and we'll never sin again. But right now we got the spirit and the flesh. And the flesh warreth against the spirit. And the spirit warreth against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things which you would. Paul said, the things I would not, I do, and the things I would do, I don't do. He said, but when I do that I would not, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's saying, it's just this struggle of my inward man, my heart, my spirit want to do what's right, but the flesh is leading me into sin. That's why Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
So you got to put off the flesh. You got to put off the old man daily. And people think that when you get saved, that's where you put off the old man. It's daily. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Every single day you have to put off the works of the flesh. Every single day you have to put off work. But let me tell you something. I don't believe that you have to repent of your sins to be saved. In fact, the phrase repent of your sins is never found in the Bible anywhere in any context. That combination of words, repent of your sins. What the closest thing that you'll ever find in the Bible to that is in Acts chapter 8 when it's somebody says to somebody who's already saved, who already believed on Christ, God saved, God baptized, living for God, somebody said to a saved person, repent
therefore of this thy wickedness. That's the closest thing you'll find to repent of your sins, is repent of this thy wickedness to somebody who's already saved. Now look, but I do believe that they do have to repent of a false doctrine to be saved. Right? Because, look, how can you believe what's right if you still believe what's wrong? That's just illogical. And so there has to be a turning point, a repentance in what you believe. Okay, because when I walked up to that, come on up here. Since we call you Stucky, we'll just call you Matthew for this illustration. Now look, Matthew, the unbeliever whose door I knocked, okay, he believes that living a good life is salvation. Okay? Now look, he needs to repent. He needs to change that. I mean, there needs to be a turning point here where he says, you know what? I will cease to trust in myself and I'm going to trust in Christ alone for salvation. I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now look, does this have to be an emotional experience? No. It doesn't have to be. Does he have to start crying? Does he have to get on his knees and beg God to be saved? No. I mean, look, where was all the pathos and crying with the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, I want to get baptized. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, he just said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. Now look, go ahead and sit down, Matthew. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Now look. We need to be thorough because, you know, let me ask them, would you do the same job of, so ask yourself this question, would you do the same job of soul winning that you're doing right now if you were talking to your best friend or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister? Think about that. Would you just be trying to hurry up and get it done and get to the next one? I mean, would you? No, you'd want to, man, you'd make sure that they understood, wouldn't you? Because this is somebody you really care about. I mean, you would take the time necessary to make sure that they know. And again, I'm not talking about kicking a dead horse. I'm not talking about if they already see it and you just keep hammering it again and again. There's no point to that. But you know what? You take the time necessary to get them from here to here. Take the time necessary to get them from point A to point B in what they believe. Okay. Now look at Acts chapter 10. This is a good verse. I like this story. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible about Peter preaching to Cornelius and his household. I love what he says here in verse number 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Say, well, how did they receive the word of God, the Holy Ghost? Because they believed on him. See, that's why he said, look at this. I love verse 43. To him, talking about Jesus, give all the prophets witness. Now, I believe that. I mean, we're talking Moses. Yeah. I mean, Malachi, Haggai, Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I mean, all the prophets. The whole Old Testament, he said, to him give all the prophets witness. The whole Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament is about Jesus. Amen. And he says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name. So what is the Old Testament teaching, Mr. Dispensationalist? It says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What was Peter's message of salvation? Whosoever believeth. Right?
Yeah.
Whosoever believeth in him. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answer Peter. You say, wait a minute. Did they start speaking in tongues? Like the modern day, you know, well, listen. These people were Italians. Who came with Peter? What nationality were they? Jews. They were surprised that the Gentiles also received the Holy Ghost. Okay? But what does it mean when they spoke with another tongue? Same thing it meant back in Acts chapter 2. They were glorifying God
in the language of Peter and his you know, accomplices there, his, what do they call, associates. You know, they're probably speaking Aramaic. And so, all of a sudden, these Italians, you know, begin to speak and praise God and glorify God, give glory to Jesus Christ in a language that these guys understood. And they said, whoa, he said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And look at this. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now look, why did Peter command somebody to be baptized? Now Peter, back in Acts chapter 2, commanded people to be baptized. You know, being baptized is a command of God, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he commanded, he didn't suggest that they be baptized, he commanded them to be baptized. Now, did he force them to get baptized? No. But he gave them that command from God. You know, he commanded them to be baptized. Now listen, when I get somebody saved, I command them to be baptized. You know, I tell them, hey, now the next step is to be baptized. You know, this is important. Now, do you have to do that at every door? No, that's not what I'm saying. But let me tell you what I am saying. Because I'm not saying you have to go into baptism with everybody you went to. I don't go into baptism with everybody that went to the Lord. You know, it depends on the situation, depends on the circumstance. If they have some time and they want to talk, you know, maybe I'll ground them in some things and maybe talk about baptism, try and get them to come to church and be baptized. But let me say one thing about baptism. You know why I command people to get baptized? Because I know that they got saved. And you know why I know that they got saved? Because I did a thorough job giving them the gospel. And they said that they believed it. And it was clear that they believed it. So, you know, the people who have the confidence to command somebody to be baptized is because they know that they really got saved. You understand what I'm saying today? I know that the people, you know, and you know, I know that the people that I talk to when I go out there and knock doors, I mean, somebody might lie to me or pretend or whatever, but you know what, I'll tell you right now, those people are getting saved. Because it's getting presented in a thorough way. Now, look, come on up here, Matthew, one more time. I gotta close the sermon because I gotta hop on a plane in like less than an hour here, in about an hour. But anyway, look. When I'm done giving somebody the gospel, and I don't have time to go through the whole thing of how to win somebody to the Lord. We got the CDs on it. We got the DVD. I mean, I have not failed to teach here. I've not failed to teach this. I've preached sermon after sermon about this. I've got the DVD. I've got the stuff on the internet. I mean, there's plenty of resources, and there's plenty of people around here to get help from. But listen, when I'm done giving him the gospel, I'm going to ask him questions, and even throughout talking to him, to make sure he understands what I'm saying. And I'm not going to feed him the answers. Okay?
Yeah.
So you believe you can't lose it, right? I mean, you can't lose it, right?
Right.
Okay, let's pray. You know what I mean? I mean, just because he's saying that, let's see what's really in his heart. You know? Why don't you explain it to him thoroughly and then ask him some questions like, so, you know, what does a person have to do to be saved then?
All you got to do is believe.
Right. Okay. So let's say you believe, but then let's say you quit church. And, I mean, you go out and live a life of sin, you know, are you still going to be saved or do you think you'd lose it? I mean, do you think you'd still be saved if you do all that stuff?
It's eternal. That's right.
Okay, see, I'm not giving him the answer, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not feeding him the answer. Right, okay, yeah, let's pray, you know. Now, look, go ahead and sit down, brother. Now, again, I'm not accusing anybody. All I know is that there are some people in this church. I'm not even saying who, and I don't even have certain people in mind necessarily. But listen, there are people in this church who are not explaining eternal security with everybody that they talk to. And they're moving too fast. And, you know, whoever it is, you know, don't even worry. Shame, is that me? You know what? Who cares? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. When you go out there from now on, Maybe you've done a good job with it half the time, you know what I mean? Or 75% of the time, or 25% of the time, you know, whatever, 90% of the time. Do it right 100% of the time.
Amen.
Because there's no reason not to do it. Say, oh, come on. No, not come on. This is heaven and hell. Do it right every time. Now, do you have to do it just like me? No. Do it however you want to do it, as long as you get them from here to here. But if they're still here, then they're not saved. I don't care what they said with their mouth or prayed. They got to believe in their heart. And you got to make sure that you preach it to them. Because some people, it's just because they didn't hear it thoroughly. That's why they believe wrong. Now look, some people, like when we were out sowing on Sunday afternoon, and remember those two young boys we were talking to? Those people, I mean, it was explained to them, but they just didn't get it. Now that wasn't the fault of who was giving them the gospel. Okay? That was just, some people just aren't going to get it. Right? So I'm not saying if they didn't get saved, you did a bad job. Or if they answer the question wrong, you... Because look, if I explain it to somebody and they give the wrong answer, I explain it to them again. You know what I mean? Because they're not seeing it. And if they still get the wrong answer the second time, I just say, hey, listen, come to church sometime. God bless you. You know, and maybe that seed was just being planted right now. Somebody else is going to have to come and water that. You know, and some, I mean, look, I gave the gospel to my wife again and again and again, and she said, I didn't understand it until the day I got saved. You know what I mean? So she heard it from me a bunch of times without understanding. Sometimes the unbelievers are going to have a hard time comprehending this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that's your fault. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to pray with somebody and tell them that they're saved, you know, and say, you know, and then come to church and say, hey, I got two people saved, or I got one person saved, hey, they better really be saved.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody you talk to is going to get saved, but if they don't get saved, don't tell them they're saved, and don't pray with them, and don't come to church and say they got saved. Everybody understand that? And so look, I don't, and you know what, you're probably not going to like what I do next, but this is what I'm going to do. And if you don't like what I'm about to do, it's because your heart is in the wrong place. If you don't like what I'm going to do right now, I'm saying it right now, your heart is in the wrong place. And you might be who I'm talking about if you don't like this. Because look, and you know, we haven't printed the numbers in the bulletin lately. Because you know what? Some of the numbers have been erroneous. And we're not going to have erroneous numbers. And so you know what we're going to do? I'm going to take all the numbers that we've been gathering up and what we've calculated, and I'm just going to subtract 50. Say, you think 50 people didn't get saved? I don't know, I don't. But I'm going to subtract 50 because I feel like that'll be confident enough to just make sure. Maybe that's four times too many. Maybe that's two times too many. I don't care. I'm subtracting 50. And if you don't like that, it's because this is your God or something. Who cares? You know, why do we even put the numbers in the bulletin? It's so that we can rejoice together. So who cares if we change the number by 50 down? Because the same people are going to heaven and hell, whatever I do with that number.
That's right.
And so that number's going down 50, because I said it's going down 50. Because we're not going to sit here and have this kind of stuff go on. And you know what? I think that the problem is solved. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer and move on from it. I don't want anybody to be nasty with anybody, you know, and I don't think anybody will. You know, we have great unity in this church. And if we don't have unity in this church, it's because you don't love God. Because Jesus said, everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him or her also that is begotten of him.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
If you love God, you better love every person in this church.
That's good.
And if you don't love somebody in this church, then you don't love God. That's what the Bible says. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ if you truly love God. And so listen, we have great unity and friendship and a family in this church. That's why I have the freedom to get up here and preach my heart, be a little bit stern, because I know that, you know, that you love me and you know that I love you and everything is fine. But you know what? Let's move on. Let's let it go. It's over, but do it right. Do it right. And if it's not done right in the future, then I will get up and preach this every single service until it's done right. And I've done it before, because we, you know, in this church, early on in this church, we had a problem creeping in, and I preached on it every service for weeks. That's all I preached about, until it was fixed. And it was, you know, this whole, it was a repent of sins type of thing, you know, that was going, you know, heresy. And so I'll preach on it as many times as it takes, you know, but I'm confident that the problem will be solved. Now look, and I don't want you either to be, you know, skeptical. You know, because look, there are times when sometimes you're going to have a lot of people say. I mean, look, sometimes I go out and knock doors for 4 hours and have one person saved. Sometimes on Sunday afternoon, I'll go out for 3.5-4 hours and I have 8 people saved like a month and a half ago on a Sunday. You know, I talked to 4 people at the same time in one group. You know, and then I was having about one saved in every 45 minutes of being out. It was just a great day. You know, God's going to bless like that. And when that happens, let's all rejoice together. Let's not be the skeptic. Well, we're all there. Don't be a skeptic, but how about let's let's not be a skeptic because we know that we're all doing it right. That's why we're not a skeptic. Everybody understand? So we want to keep the balance right here. No skepticism, and I don't want to encourage skepticism on this side, but on the other side, do it right. All right? I have to go because I'm going to get on a plane in just a short time. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then Brother Dave's going to come lead us in a song. Father, thank you so much for our church, and thank you for the opportunity that we have.